Okay, right now, we're going to have Brother Heidenreich come and preach. I'm excited about Brother Heidenreich being here. I remember last year he was here in December and took him out to eat Sunday afternoon, and we sat down, and he helped me basically schedule the missions conference as far as the dates and when he could come and so forth, but he also gave me some ideas and so forth, and I really appreciate that very, very much, especially being a young pastor, especially more then. I wasn't here very long, and I appreciate his friendship. I'm excited about what he has to hear, what he has to offer this weekend in church. Again, I just ask you just to open your heart, allow God to work this weekend, and Brother Heidenreich, won't you come preach?
All right. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I'm excited about being here. I'm excited about being anywhere. Amen. And I just came back from the Philippines, went to China. And getting ready, I'll be here, I'll fly home Monday, drop off a suitcase, pick one up, pick my wife up, and our daughter's going to have a surgery on her back, on a tumor or something on her back, so we're going down there to be with her as she goes through surgery, whatever. Then a couple days later, I'm flying to Alaska, I'll be up there in a time change there. In 5 days when I get back there, I'll be going to Africa, and so only God knows where I'm at, who I am, or whatever. I'm starting to put a name tag on, so at least I know who I am, and if I don't, somebody else will. And in the last 5 weeks, I've been almost completely around the world and watching people get saved. They're hungry for the gospel. And boy, when she sang that song, and you know, when they sing in other different languages and things, we thought, well, you know, boy, but there's a world out there that speaks about 6,500 and some different languages, amen? And we only get to hear it in English, but now you know how they felt when we go there and speak English and they can't understand what we're doing, vice versa, amen? And so, I am so glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do in your mission conference. I want to thank you for supporting us. Boy, I tell you what, we started 10 churches this year, and, you know, everybody says the economy's bad. Well, it depends on whose economy you're thinking about. God's economy's not bad, amen? Last time I checked, God's economy's doing very, very well, and people say, oh, man, we don't have money for missions, we don't have money for our church, we don't have money for the ministry, and don't tell me that, because I'm telling you what, now God has been very, very good supplying Bibles and tracts and just so many things. I love serving God, amen? I have one employer, and that's God. Yeah, I look at it, man, I'll never be out of a job. I'll never be out of a job as long as I live. I've got things to do, places to go. Of course, I spent 15 years in the Philippines, and so God moved me out of there and gave me the other 237 countries to run through, and I'm working my way through them slowly but surely, but I'm glad to be here. Why don't you open your Bibles to John chapter 4? John chapter 4, and of course, I knew that your preacher was talking about the year of the harvest, so the last couple days I've been putting together messages on the harvest to go along with your theme, and this will be the first one. Let's all stand as we read some scripture, give you a chance to stretch your legs a little bit. Thank you for coming out on a Friday night. I know it's a sacrifice for many of you after you've worked hard all week and whatever, then to be able to come out, and I want to thank you so much for doing that. Be here tomorrow, soul winning tomorrow, and then we got the international dinner tomorrow, and just so many things, and we got so much going on, and then Brother Autry and them going to the Dominican Republic. I have been there, tremendous field. And just exciting what God's doing around the world. And so let's look at John chapter 4, verse 31. All right. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35, Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Because, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for what you're doing in this church. Father, I pray that you continue to work. We thank you for these dear people that have come out tonight. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I always need your help. Holy Spirit, I pray that you do a work in the heart. Holy Spirit, do a work with a work that only you can do. Save the lost and change the life of the Christian. In your name we pray. Amen. as I was praying, you can be seated. As I was praying, I was going to say, bless this church, but I don't remember what name it is. It's Faith Baptist Church, right? I don't even know my own home church. When I go soul winning, I just make up a name. Nobody knows where it is. Amen. You know, I'm in so many different places and so many churches. When I go soul winning, I think, well, this guy's kind of weird. And, you know, at first he said Faith Baptist Church, and halfway through the conversation, he said Grace Baptist Church, and so whatever. And so, but I want us to look at this portion of scripture tonight. I want us to look at this topic, fields white for harvest. Fields white for harvest. Now, I've had an opportunity. I've probably been in about 45 countries, give or take a few. And I've been to so many countries. And, I have not ran into one country yet where I've not seen people wanting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I want us to look at this tonight. You know, we look at this portion of scripture, look at verse 35. It says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Many, you know, we have many unbelieving Christians that have many reasons for not expecting to see people saved. There are many unbelieving Christians today, and they're not expecting to see people saved. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting the people to be saved, amen? The gospel works no matter where you go, and I've been in different countries with different languages and different dialects. I work with an interpreter, and I work with so many different people and whatever. But, you know, we have many Christians today, though. They don't expect anything to happen. They don't expect people to be saved. I don't know about you, and you need to pray for your church. You need to pray that people will be saved through this ministry. Amen? We hear stories of the past and how God has used many churches and many great men, and they see thousands of people saved, and we long to see that again. We heard about William Carey tonight. William Carey did a tremendous work in India. And so we look at this in Judson, Adoniram Judson in Burma, and we look at so many other great missionaries, so many other great churches, great men. They see in the past, we hear them seeing thousands of saved and hundreds of saved, and we long to see that again. And I'm telling you something, we need to long to see that in America, amen? I told preacher today, America's not dying. America's not dead, but it's in intensive care with two IVs in it. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. We need to long for that. We need to long to see people saved through our ministries. We look to the future and hope to see multitudes being saved. We look to the past and we see the hundreds of thousands of people saved. And then we look to the future saying, boy, I hope we can see hundreds and hundreds more people saved. And boy, I hope to do that. I've asked God, I turned 60 this year. Amen? And I turned 60 and boy, I went to my preacher and I said, Dr. Jeff Owens, I said, look, anoint me with oil, because a lot of great men had their greatest ministries in their 60s and 70s. I'm not retiring, amen? I got retreaded, amen? Now, I may look retarded tonight, but I'm not that either, amen? But I got retreaded, man. I said, I'm stepping it up. Today, when people are trying to cut back and trying to slow down and trying to avoid getting things done in the ministry because of the economy, I said, God, man, I'm not into that. I know that Jehovah God is the true to living God and is alive, amen? I said, man, I'm not stepping back. I'm stepping up. And I said, man, I went in. I said, preacher, anoint me. And I said, look, I'm going to do more. I'm stepping it up. I'm adding things to the program. I'm traveling more further than I've ever gone before. It's not time. I see people in the past and see all that happened in the past and hundreds of thousands of people being saved in the past. And I look to the future and said, God, let it happen again. Amen? We look at this. We see this here. But as for God working today, there are so many who do not expect souls to be saved. We look to the past and see it. We look to the future. We want it again. But as far as today, we still see so many people that don't expect people to be saved. I don't know about you, but I expect people to be saved. Amen? And we look at this. And if we look at this portion of Scripture here in verse 34, one of the common reasons for expecting so many people are not expecting people to get saved, is yet there are yet 4 months. And then comes the harvest. There are yet 4 months. It's like saying, you know, this is not the time. Well, this is not the time to do it. The harvest is white in the harvest. It's white. It's ready. It needs somebody to harvest it. And people are being saved in America. Amen? I don't know about you, but I go soul winning. And I don't see the numbers I do overseas, but I'll tell you what, I go soul winning, people are saved. Amen? And so we look at this, but they say, well, you know, yet 4 months. Then cometh the harvest. We say, it's like we're putting it off. We can't put it off. If there's ever a time in Christianity, and especially for America, it's time for America to step up, because this country's starting to sink. Yeah. It's time for us, those of us who believe the Word of God, for those of us who believe in Jehovah God, and those of us who say, man, you know, I believe that God is real tonight. We may have a president that says America's not a Christian nation, but I'll disagree with him, amen? He may kind of lean towards Allah, wherever he wants to go, but I'm going to tell you something. I use the word Jehovah God more than I've ever used it before. I'm going to preach Jehovah God, and I'm not going to bow down to say, well, all these gods in this country. Let me tell you something. Everybody's welcome in this country, but let your false gods outside of our country, amen? This is a Christian nation. He said, well, this is not the time. We must have patience. We must wait. Why are we waiting? They did it in the times past. We're hoping to see it done in the future. Well, let's do it today. Let's get involved in your church today. Get involved in Faith Baptist Church today. Get involved in doing something. They said, well, it's not the time. This is not the hour. This is not the man. This is not the place. Many do not expect it to happen now. There are yet 4 months. They're kind of putting it off, but it must be done today. Amen? Boy, you look at your mission program, and boy, this is a great day to be a missionary. Great day to be a missionary. What the technology that we have and all the things we got going for us. Man, we could fly almost around. We can fly anywhere in the world almost in 24 hours. Oh, man, we're flying to Africa. We're going to Cameroon, taking a young couple down there to survey the Cameroon. We're flying over to Europe. I think it takes 6.5 hours. Then I got to get on a plane for another 18 and a half hours to fly to Africa. God, help us. There's not much you can do in the air for 18 hours. I mean, you can do everything that you think of in about 10 minutes, and then you're done, amen? And you can tell I'm hyper, all right? You can, boy, they strapped me in one of those seats. I'm hyper, amen? I'm doing 100 things in about 15 minutes, and then I'm bored. Then my bottom gets numb. Amen. If you sit on your bottom for 18 hours, you're numb, man. It's a mess. Amen. The only exciting thing that keeps me going is this turbulence. Oh, God, help us. Oh, man, I get assurance of my salvation. When I fly, I get assurance of my salvation. I believe in the grace of God. Somebody said, well, you know, when you get ready to die, God's going to give you grace. Well, I said, I don't get some of those turbulence. We're bouncing around, the luggage is coming out, and we're like a Brahma bull. Amen. And I thought, well, I ain't got any grace. So I'm not going to die, amen. And I said, oh, Lord, I got a lot to do. Remember, Lord, I asked for more, amen. And but that keeps you awake or whatever. But we see this here. In this portion of Scripture, we see this. Wait, it's not the time. This is not the hour. You're not the man. You're not the place. We look at this here, though. Meanwhile, death does not cease to slay people. Death everywhere you go. I was last year, I think I told you, I think I was here after that, I was in the Philippines during Typhoon Frank. I went through so much. I seen dead bodies. I seen people, dead animals. The typhoon just came through there, ripped up the roads, broke the bridges. People drowned. I did funerals. I went through the neighborhood trying to help people. And I left everything I could there. And so, I mean, I left everything. I came back with just basically what I had on me because I'm American. I can get it again. Amen? I can come back to America. It may take me a little bit, but I can get everything I left. I can get another Bible. I can get everything, clothes. I can get anything. I'm from America, all right? And so we look at this, so we see this. But death doesn't slow down. We're saying, yet 4 months. But death doesn't say, well, yet 4 months. Death keeps marching on. Death keeps claiming people. We see this here. We see this. Not only does death do that, but we see false doctrine. We see false teaching. We see false religion. They're stalking the world. Everywhere you go, I see Mormons everywhere. I run into them. I just came back from Brother David Owens. I think you support Brother David Owens down in Guyana. Great man. We were down there. We were down there soul winning with Muslims and Hindu people and everything. We had a great time down there. We rented a cricket field. Now, they don't play baseball. They play cricket. It's almost like golf. They bounce that ball in there. First time they put one in there, and I got lucky the first time. I said, whip that baby in there. Whew, that ball took off, amen? Now, I couldn't run back and forth between the sticks, but I knocked that ball for a while. I could almost walk between it. And so, but we rented a cricket field. And then I'm telling you what, we were in that cricket field once so winning. On the day that we had Sunday morning, we had the bleachers full. We had kids on this side. We had the adults there. Over 1,150 some people came. Amen? And we see this. But we see this. False teachers. We got false doctrine. We got false religion. They're stalking the world. 4 months. All right. Have there not been 4 months already? 4 months in our grandfather's day. 4 months in our father's day. Now it's 4 months and it's still today. Amen? We've got to keep on going. Our Savior's word, look at this. Our Savior's word here, Jesus said this, lift up your eyes and look under the fields, for they're white for harvest. All right? They're white for harvest. Look, we need to expect God to work now. Amen? We need to expect God to work for now. Each mission trip I take, I expect to see people saved. Every trip I go, I am begging God, praying, fasting. I'll do whatever it takes. Every trip that I take, man, I can't wait. I know, I expect people to be saved. When I go soul winning, even when I go soul winning and people don't get saved, I'm a little disappointed. I can't go. I'm the type of person, I can't go very long without somebody not being saved. Now, there might be a drought, but I'm going to tell you something, man. I am praying. I'm asking God. I'm trying to pass out the gospel on the plane today, witnessing to a Jewish man sitting beside me. Always carry the gospel. Every person in this room, you should never be without the gospel of Jesus Christ. Boy, every time I go soul winning, I expect people to be saved. Every time I preach the gospel, whenever I get up and preach the gospel, I expect people to be saved. I'm telling you something, I love preaching the gospel. I like going in that new territory. Whenever, you know, a preacher said, well, every time Brother Heidenreich goes somewhere, something happens. Amen? I just came back from the Philippines, and the first night I was there, I think the animals thought I was Dr. Doolittle. You know, I don't know what happened. I'm in this guest house they put me in, and they had a big double bed, and then they had a set of bunk beds, so I switched them around because I really had the bunk bed so I can have something over the top of me in case, you know, whatever comes in, I got at least a chance, amen? And so I was moving the bunk beds, and they got these little pegs that go down inside to keep the beds together. I grabbed that, and I'm walking through there. I'm moving the beds, and all of a sudden, I feel something going up my arm. A bunch of termites were just going up there. They knew where the wood was, amen? And they were just going up there. I'm thinking, okay, and all of a sudden I'm laying in the bed, something over here clicking like this, or moving over there, and I'm telling you what, they thought I was Dr. Doolittle. I think they were coming to tell me all their problems. I got up to go to the bathroom one night. I walked towards the bathroom in the dark, and I seen a little shadow, you know, when you see something on the wall about that big. I thought, I think that's a spider. I've been there before, amen? And I ain't kidding, a spider that big. And I thought, man, I'm going to go back and get my shoe. Well, I went back to get my shoe, and I tried to push the bathroom door open. That spider got on both sides of the door on the inside. He was blocking me from coming in. I'm pushing, and all of a sudden the ground troops come out. Ants. I don't know what happened. I must have hit something. I think the ants were coming. I got the spider in there, the ants, the ground troops coming. All of a sudden the flying cockroaches come out. I said, man, he's got the Air Force after me, man. I said, forget this. I'm going outside to go to the bathroom, man. And you can do that in foreign countries. And so, good night. I mean, you just see everything. And you go places and you see things. But I like, they said, bro, something always happens to Brother Heidenreich. I try to go to where the gospel is not. All right, I try to find a place, and I said, no, where hasn't it been? Now, that's a dangerous thing sometimes because they'll tell you where it hasn't been, but you got to be careful how to get there, all right, because you want to get back out. And so, but anyway, I expect people to be saved. Amen. I expect it. I don't know about you, man. I expect it. If you're teaching Sunday school class, man, you ought to expect people to be saved in your Sunday school. Follow up on your students. Meet their parents. Meet their neighbors. Go on. I mean, get involved and just don't go. We go through the motions. America is lukewarm, and I'm tired of America being lukewarm. We're going through the motions. That's not going to save our country. We're not going to reach America by just going through the motions. Somebody's got to have a passion. They said, Brother Hunter, you're wound up. I am, because that's a passion for me. I want my country to be saved and to go on and serve God. I don't want it to look like England. England is spiritually dead now, because what happened is they just started cutting back. I want us to look at this harvest tonight. Let's look at this portion of Scripture. And the first things I want us to look at this harvest, all right? This harvest, it says here, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then come the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, ready, already to harvest. The first thing I want us to look at this tonight is this. Let's look at the signs of the harvest. Let's look at the signs of the harvest. I was praying about your conference. I think the preacher called me a week or so ago, and I started preparing sermons on this and spent the last couple of days. And of course, the time change. I'm up all night now. The Philippines, they're getting up, all right? I think last night or night before, the first night I slept all night since I've been back from China and the Philippines or whatever, so I've been up all night looking at this. But I want us to look at this. We see this portion of Scripture now. We see here with Jesus in verse, we see this. He preaches the sermon to one person. All right, look at verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. All right, there cometh a woman of Samaria. He preaches this sermon to one hearer. And that one convert, that one person, he comes and he preaches a sermon to one person, the Samaritan woman. And you look at this, the salvation, look at the salvation to one soul should be to you a hopeful sign that God wants to save others. Amen? You look at this, and he's coming through here, and he's passing through Samaria. And if you look at verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. If you know anything about the Bible, the Samaritan area, the Jews did not get along with the Samaritans. They were like a mixed breed, and they called them dogs and everything else. They didn't get along with them, and everybody tried to avoid going through Samaria, but Jesus said he must needs. Look at it, verse 4. He must needs to go through Samaria. We must need to go to people that do not have the gospel, they're not like us, or different languages, or different culture. We must go where others do not want to go. There's not many people that want to travel through the world today. The world, they say, is unsafe. It's dangerous. But let me tell you something. There's no place unsafe if you're in the center of God's will. Amen?
Right.
I just went through China. They said, aren't you afraid to get the swine flu? Well, let the swine fly, amen? I mean, let that old pig go, amen? That doesn't bother me. And I went through China, and man, you got to fill out a form. You got to be careful. You don't sneeze in China. You're in quarantine, all right? Good. And I said, Lord, whatever I do, man, just get me through this country and back out, all right? I said, get me through and get me out. But they're very tight with security. They're very tight with it. They said, man, look it. I know certain areas are dangerous, but I'm telling you something. God protects his people, and you're not going to get anything that God doesn't want you to get. I don't care how close you get to it. Amen? And we look at this, and so he preaches to one person. But this is a hopeful sign for us, because if we see that one person is saved, God wants other people to be saved after that. I was in the Philippines, and when I first went there and spent 15 years there, one of the first villages I went to a village called Owak, and visited there, and the next day they brought 38 people on a motorcycle and a sidecar. Now figure that one out, amen? I got pictures this time of a family coming to church in the Philippines, and they got mama and daddy and three kids on a motorcycle, and that's a light load. And so, but anyway, I went there, and I seen, and a young man came. His name was Monty Shinoy. He's about 11, 12 years old. He came to church. He got saved. And boy, you know, as a new missionary there, and that's what you're there for, is to preach the gospel and get people saved and get them to church, amen? And so he came, and I thought, boy, if he comes and gets saved, there's got to be more, amen? There's always got to be more. The hardest person to win when you go soul winning is that first one. All right, sometimes the hardest person to win is that first one. But once you get that first one, boy, it's like saying, all right, man, I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun, amen? I get cranked up after I get the first one. Now, it might take me a little while to get motivated to get that first one, but once I get that first one, man, it's all right. And so we look at this. The first sign we see this here, see, he preached a sermon to one, and that one is a hopeful sign for you and I that God wants to see other people saved. The second sign is this. Seeing this one convert was at the very moment diligent engaging to make other converts. Now look at this. Boy, you see this. This lady gets saved. In verse 39, as we look at this, verse 39, we see this. Man, she gets saved. Now she's engaged in getting other people saved. Look at verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. We see this, man, the first sign, one gets saved. God said, there's one, there's more. And then this lady that got saved went out and started getting busy telling other people. Here's what happened. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I was 21 years old, and I got saved. Man, the next thing, man, as soon as I got saved, the next day or so, I went after my brother. Then I started going after other people. And by the grace of God, I've been at this thing for about 30-some years now. All right? Almost 30, might be more than that, 1970, almost 40 years. Almost 40 years, I've not slowed down yet. Don't let the gospel stop with you.
Right.
Let me ask you something. Has the gospel stopped with you? This lady said, man, she got saved, and look, she went back there, and she said, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Have you testified? Have you told someone else that you're saved? Well, you know what soul winning is? Soul winning is just basically telling people what happened to you.
Right.
Man, I'm telling you what. But many, we see this, the first sign was this, the hopeful sign that others would be saved. The second sign we see this, man, they're engaged in getting other converts. We go back to Monty Shinoy. 11 years old, came to church, went through our youth group. All right, we started a Bible college. And I like what Brother Autry said. I'm telling you something. Missionaries are not going to reach the world. The nationals are going to reach the world. It's the national. We got to train the nationals to do it. I can go in. I spent 15 years there. I can do all I can. But if I train the nationals, they can move on. They know the language. They know the culture. They know it. The greatest missionary is the native tongue. Amen. Our missionaries have got to learn the language. And so we see this here. We go on. It says he was engaged. And so Monty comes back. Monty grows up, comes to our Bible college. He grows up. And what happened? He's in Burma. He's in Thailand along the Burma border. This time when I went back to the Philippines, I helped him start a church inside of Burma. We started another church on the Burma border. One, engaged going after others. He grew up. He's after others. Now he's in a country. He's after. Now he's got missionaries going out of his church. Burmese people are going out of his church. See, the gospel must move on. It must keep going. It must keep going. But we must expect people to be saved. Look at the third sign. Others were coming to hear. All right, first one, I preached a sermon to one person. Boy, there must be more. And the second sign is this, man. That person got involved in getting others. But look at the third sign. The third sign is this in verse 40. Others were coming to hear. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Look at this. And many more believed because of his own word. Boy, you start with that one. Boy, there's more. They got engaged in getting more, and now there's more, or many. I'm telling you something. The reason we don't see our churches grow, the reason we don't see our family members saved, is because it starts with you. It starts with you. If family members are not saved, it starts with you. If people in this area are not saved, it starts with you. It multiplies and it multiplies. You see, this harvest is growing. We see this here. Look at this. Many of the people, the Samaritans, were anxious to listen to the Savior. Here's the fourth sign. The Savior knew the harvest was coming because the people who were coming to hear were people that were least unlikely to hear, Samaritans. The least unlikely to hear, the Samaritans. I like going to many other countries because people say, oh, they won't listen. They won't listen. The Burmese border. Got up there with the refugee camp. I've been in refugee camps. I've been along the border. Those poor Burmese people, nobody wants them. Nobody loves them. They're just trying to exist. Both countries from Burma's persecuting them and the people in Thailand and just looking at that. But when they hear the gospel, because God wants them. Amen? And God loves them. And we see this, the least likely people. We see the signs of the harvest. Boy, I wish we'd see it today as we look at the mission field and I look at your flags back there, and I've been to a lot of those countries back there, and I look at them and I see those countries. They're hungry for the gospel. Many people are waiting to hear. Boy, on this last trip to the Philippines, I was with some people, and they said, can you come back? Can you come back and teach us some more? Can you come back? They're waiting to hear. Our job as a local New Testament church is to reach everybody outside these doors. Amen? The gospel always starts where it's right here where you're at and expands out here, goes through the states, across America, and around the world. But I'm telling you something, there are people that want to hear. I went into a public school in the Philippines and went in there, and we were just going down the road. We had scheduled some meetings, but there was a couple schools we just came up onto, went in and said, look at. We're out trying to teach the Bible to people today. And the principal was Catholic, very staunch Catholic. And she did not want them to do with us. And so we began talking to her a little bit. And the Holy Spirit of God began to work in her heart. She was hesitant. She tried to push us off, but we kind of just kind of talked to her nice and did some different things and encouraged her a little bit and whatever. So she finally let us in. Then she let us go room to room. I like that in a public school when you go room to room. Sometimes we gather them in big crowds. If that's the best I can do, I'll take a big crowd and preach to them. But I like to go room to room. Amen? There are people, there are places around the world that they're set for you. Boom. I mean, there's rooms and there's people gathered and there's places just set for you. So we started going room to room and I began to talk to her. My job is I go in the Christian school, in the public schools, I'll teach a class or two. But my main job is to say this. And of course, I was with my son. My son is in the ministry over there. And then he gave me some of his workers. And I said to the public school teacher, we have people trained. Our college students are trained to teach classes. They will teach the classes. Well, I said to the principal, would you bring all your teachers to one room so I could speak to them? Oh, I love that. Amen. And so they'll go in. I get all the teachers in the class. And they'll all come into the classroom and sit down. And I'll talk to them a little bit. And then I get to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. When it was over, that Catholic principal said, can you come back? We want to hear more. We want to hear more. That's what this mission conference is. This mission conference is giving people that want to hear and those that don't want to hear, but there's a lot of people that want to hear, give them an opportunity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first thing is this. Let's look at the science. We looked at the science. Now, let's look at the harvest's needs. The harvest needs, all right? The first need of the harvest is for many laborers. And of course, this is the verse of your theme this year, the harvest, back in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. We'll see the harvest's needs. The first need is many laborers. The more laborers you have, the more people can be saved. The more laborers you have, the more opportunities you can have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many places where I go, I wish I had more people. I just wish I had more people to work with and more people to help in this. And of course, we look at this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. He saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. And that's true today. The harvest is truly plenteous. All right? There's many places to go with it. And it says this, but the laborers are few. All right? The laborers are few. And we see this here as we look at this. The laborers. So the first thing that we see here, the need is the laborers are few. There must be more laborers. There must be more laborers with energy. There must be more laborers with passion. We've lost our passion in serving our God. There's no passion in it anymore. There's no desire. You got to put your energy into it. Amen. I'm signing up for the next term. Amen. I'm hoping that God will give me some great years. I've signed up for it. I've always prayed, God, don't let me lose my passion. Let me pour my energy into what I'm doing. Truthful is, I'm tired tonight. Man, I've been all over the place going back and forth. But bless God, I've got to keep my passion. I've got to stir people's hearts. I've got to get young people into the ministry. I'm asking God to bring young people into the ministry. You want excitement? I can give you enough excitement to last a lifetime. Amen? I mean, boy, you go to these amusement parks and ride these roller coasters. Well, you can ride free transportation in some places in the world that make that roller coaster look sick. Amen? Boy, I'm telling you what, you have to pay to ride a roller coaster. You can get on some free things over there. You can get on motorcycles. You can get on boats. You can get on all kinds of things. And you're thinking, God, if I get off this, I'll do anything. Amen. I've been on some things. I think, oh, Lord, what am I doing, Lord? I'm 60 years old and acting like I'm 30. Now, in my mind, I'm still 30. And in the body, I'm 60. I'm about 90. Amen. And I'm looking at this. But somebody's got to have that passion. We got to keep that passion. We got to get young people into it. Man, I'm telling you what, there are young people in this room that if you do something for you can preach to thousands. We think in America, oh, this church runs thousands. Then we look at the biggest church in America, that's just the beginning on the mission field. That's just because why? They're so hungry. My dream next year is to go to India. I'm working on going to India next year. We started two churches in India. I've got to go to India next year. I'm thinking a billion people, amen. Glory to God. You just get there with those Indians, get the gospel in that language and go out there. Man, you know what I like about the gospel? You can't give it to the wrong person. That's right. You can't take it the wrong address. You can't take the gospel to the wrong person, amen. But we need to laborers. The greatest need is laborers, people with energy, people with a passion, and young men that want to preach, amen. I take some people with me, some young men with me, and they say, Brother Heinrich, can I preach? Bless God, you said it. You want to preach? Man, Brother Heinrich, can you take a turn? I mean, you can preach, amen? We can get you places to preach around the world. The second great need is for sharp sickles. All right, the instrument that you use to cut the wheat down, sharp sickles. We must know the Word of God and know how to use it, amen? Look at this portion of scripture in chapter 4, in John chapter 4, we see this. Boy, here's Jesus. He knows how to use the scriptures, amen? Of course, he is the scripture, amen? And so he knows, he works with this lady and begins to go down through this, and you read down through this, and he said, man, he said, man, the gift, in verse 10, he mentions the gift of God, verse 14, everlasting life. I'm telling you, we need sharp sickles to do the harvesting. We need to learn our Bible, amen? And we don't know how to learn how to use our Bible. It is amazing to me how many Christians sit in our churches and they really don't grab a hold of it. Amen? I'm telling you what, people preach, I got a pen, I'm circling, I'm trying to learn everything I can. I'm not the smartest man in the block, but I'm trying to learn everything I can. I want to learn it so I can use it. Amen? It is shocking. Look, it is shocking in American churches and how many church members cannot lead someone to Christ. shocking on how many church members cannot lead someone to Christ. If you're saved tonight, you've got a testimony. If you're saved tonight, there ought to be a desire. You should be able to lead someone to Christ. I get calls. Brother Heinrich, can you come over and witness this person? I sure can, but why can't you? You know, missionaries, they think we think we're supermen. You know, every missionary, they save up the hard places for the missionary when he comes. Yeah, man, you know, I got an S on my chest. It's not for Superman. It's not for stupid either. but no, really, I've been there. I go to church and they say, Brother Heinrich, we got a visit for you to make. I'm thinking, all right, then why not the pastor make it? Why don't this, you know, it's a husband. And why don't the wife do something? Why don't the Sunday school teach? I'm thinking, good night. And I don't mind doing that. I'll go try. But when they see us coming, they know it's a setup. All right, Brother Heinrich, we're going over to this house for supper. It's the only time that the woman cooks for her husband. And so he knows it's a setup, you know. And so you go in there. But look, it's shocking. We need sharp sickles to do that. We need to learn the Word of God. We need to learn how to use it to get people saved. We look down at this. We see this here. Not only that, but the third deed of the harvest is this, binders. Those who go and gather up the sheaves and bind them together. Boy, we are very good at winning people to Christ. But we're not doing very good in getting our converts to church. I said this, you know, you can't feed sheep on fish food. All right? Boy, there's a time that they're a fish, but when they get saved, they become a sheep. Amen? The thing of it is, we need people to bind up the harvest. Everybody, boy, everybody. You can't go to the mission field, and you may not be able to do a lot of things, but you can go get people. Boy, yeah, a church that grows is a church that has loving people that go out. When you go soul winning, you got a convert, and you got a list of converts, church members should go by and encourage them. Come by and say, look, won't you? Can I help you? Can I invite you? I want to invite you to church. Can I pick you up? There's something that you need. We wonder why we're lacking in our church growth. It's because the church members are not involved. They're not going out and binding up the converts. It's one thing to win them. But it's another thing to go out and disciple them and follow up on them and get them in the church. Last thing we're going to look at here real quick is this. We look at the signs of the harvest. We look at the harvest's needs. The last thing is this. Look at the harvest. Let's look at the fears of the harvest. What's the fear of the harvest? The fear of the lack of the harvest because it will rot in the fields. The greatest fear of the harvest is this. It will rot in the fields. Anybody knows anything about harvesting, if you don't get it in during harvest time, it's useless after that. Right. It just lays in the field and it rots. As we look at the countries and we look at the mission field and we look at this, there's a time for harvesting. If that time is not done, I think one of these things back here, each generation must reach their own generation. We've got to reach this generation. If we don't reach it, see, souls are dying and they're going out into eternity in hell forever. You gotta grasp that for a minute. It's not bad enough to go to hell. That's bad. But you know what the tragedy of it all is? It's forever. You can never get out. There are people in hell tonight. If you told them they could get out of hell and a millionaires, they'd be happy. But they're not gonna get out. The world's wife for harvest. You look at it. Let me say this. If we don't do enough, if Christians don't do the harvesting, there are others that will. If Christians, if we don't do the harvesting, if we don't get involved in the mission program, if we don't send out these missionaries, we don't get to them the field, we don't put ammunition in their hand, if we don't do the job, and if we don't do the harvesting, there are others that will. The messengers of Satan, the false teachers, the false prophets, they're out, and they're doing the work of the harvest. It is amazing to me that I think it's Jehovah Witnesses has got the watchtower. I mean, they're running their printing presses 3 shifts a day, 8 hours a day, 3 shifts a day, getting out their garbage. I can't remember where I was. I was in the Philippines. We went out, soul went. And we did this. We went to the capital city to try to win some people to Christ. And there's people giving me the Church of Christ. They're giving me their literature. And, of course, you know, I take it and tear it up when they're not watching. And they go over here. Somebody hand me this. I'm telling you what, if we as Christians are not doing the harvesting, somebody else will do the harvesting. It will be the false teachers. It will be the false religion. And we see this here. We have got to get it out. I cannot understand this. Mormons will go into almost any country around the world, and we're thinking about it. Is it safe?
Is my precious little baby son going to be able to live over there? Oh, boy. Parents, don't hold your children back. You know, we spend time, the preachers, we spend time getting them to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God to convict our children, and they'll come down to do something for God, and the first hindrance is the parents. Well, you ain't going to make any money doing that. Who said the purpose of living was to make money? We are becoming a greedy nation, a greedy nation. We're so full of greed. I got to have more. I got to have more, bigger house, better car, more. I got to make more money. We're so greedy, and that has come into our churches. We're not in church on Sunday. We're not in church on Wednesday because we got to work a second job and a third job, and we're more. Cut back. God help us. All right? We see this here. It comes along. And so what happens? The message, Satan himself is traveling up and down throughout this world, and he's deceiving many. Satan doesn't neglect one town, one village, or a country. He's stealing the harvest. Satan is out there. Boy, Dr. Jeff Bullens preached at our mission conference, I think it was last year, hell's greatest missionary, Satan. Hell's greatest missionary, Satan. Oh, boy, if he's hell's greatest missionary, God, would you help me to be one of your good missionaries? Would you help me to be a missionary that's working hard? If Satan's out there doing it, he's the greatest missionary. I said, God, raise up some other great missionaries. Help us to be great missionaries. No matter where we go, help us to get the gospel out. I was in the Philippines this time. And of course, the Philippines is a wide open country right now. Man, it seems like a lot of missionaries are going to the Philippines. And boy, man, the Philippines is, it's a harvest time in the Philippines. Well, this time I learned. I went to a military camp to do a Bible study, and the lieutenant colonel was a little boy that grew up in a preacher's home in the Philippines. He said the first church in the Philippines was started in 1901 in a city called Haro. Well, we used to go there. That's the capital city on the island where we were. He said, 1901. And then we got talking. He said, during World War II, the Japanese came in, and they took the missionaries. The Japanese took the missionaries out to a little village, and the missionaries, they cut their heads off. When they got down to do that, the missionaries got down to pray. And they prayed. The Japanese took out their sword and cut their heads off. What I'm saying, yes, the Philippines is open now. Why? Because somebody planted the seed in 1901. Somebody gave their blood and their life in the 40s. See, any country, if you wonder why these countries, there's other countries that seem like there's nothing, not much going on, because somebody has to plant. Everybody wants to go where the harvest is, but somebody's got to go and plant the seed so there's a harvest for the next generation to harvest. Amen? I was fortunate to go to the Philippines and participate in a great harvest there, but it was the missionaries who paid the price. It was the church that was planted in 1901. I'm telling you, we've got to come to the place where we got to do it, because I'm telling you, Satan's after them. Yeah. There's another great reaper who is silently gathering a harvest. Every second of the day, that reaper is death. Death is reaping our harvest. Oh, I look at typhoons, I listen to earthquakes. I see them die by the hundreds of thousands, some places with an earthquake. You ever watch Indonesia in that area? You ever watch over in the kind of that area over there, they had great earthquakes, China flooding, Philippines typhoon, and all different places, and we're starting to see that around America a little bit. Death, the great reaper, death comes. People are dying. Someone said there's about 94 million people a day that die. 94 million people a day. And most of them will die and go to hell without a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, it's not some game that we're playing. We've got to get the gospel to these people before they die. Boy, you look at this and it's so difficult. You see this here. Time is running out for many people. Time is running out. We've got to be involved in missions. We look at the harvest here. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. I heard that verse shortly after I was saved, almost 40 years ago. And I said, look at God. I don't understand that, why there's the laborers are few. But I said, look at 40 years ago. I said, God, let me be one of the few. I marked it down 40 years ago. I said, God, let me be.
be one of the few. Now, we've got to do something. It's harvest time. Harvest time around the world. It's harvest time outside these doors. It's harvest time wherever we go. We've got to be carrying the gospel, because if we don't, there's others out there to reap the harvest, and we'll lose it. And we look at this portion of Scripture, and I want one last verse to look at. I'm amazed at this here. I'm amazed at verse 42. Now, one hearer, she goes out and gets involved, engaged in bringing others. Then many are saved, and many are saved. And we look at this, and they said this, many more believed in his own word. All right, verse 41, look at 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. This group of people that came out for the city, they were anxious. They believe now because they heard Jesus Christ. But look at this. These new converts said this, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Why has it taken us so long to realize that Jesus Christ is not only the Savior of America, but he's the Savior of the world? The Savior of the world. These converts knew right after that, that he was the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Every language, every country, culture, every country, he's their Savior. Sometimes if we're not careful, American people are becoming like the Jewish race. We're becoming prejudiced. We think that all the things are for us because we're Americans. We think we're better than everybody else. We think everybody has to speak English. We think everybody has to do it our way. I've been around the country, around the world. We all think they got it. Since when? Since when? The thing of it is, the harvest is plenteous, and Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So we look at this tonight. I want you to say this. No, there's not yet 4 months. It must be done now. This is the day. We are the people. This is the time, and we need to do it now. Amen? As we look at this mission conference, this is just the beginning for you. This church is going to grow. Amen? You've got to think that. You've got to expect it to grow. You've got to expect people to be saved. And one of the best ways to kick it off is with a mission conference. Amen? As man, I'm telling you what, God blesses the church that's involved in missions. You tithe. Amen? Boy, if you're not tithing, you're not right with God. Boy, Brother Heinrich, that's hard. Well, somebody needs to say it. Amen? If you're not tithing, you're not right with God, you're robbing God. Don't take your faith promise money. I mean, take your tithe and put it in your faith promise, because then you're cursing the mission program. Amen? Tithe. Give the faith promise another offering. Look at your floral offering. Get involved in the giving. God's not dead. So we look at this harvest tonight. We see this here. It is plenteous, but it's white, and it can be harvested. Amen? You can send out missionaries from this church. You're doing it, amen? And you need to add a flag. Amen? Look at that flag. Boy, I'd like to see you add a flag here and a flag there. And thank God, come back sometime in the future. You got flags across there and down the sides. Amen? The church is full. Amen? You got to expect it. But we need to do this tonight. We got to understand, if we don't do the harvesting, others will do the harvesting. And if we don't send these missionaries, then we're letting the world die and go to hell. We're letting the harvest rot in the field. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Father, I do want to thank you for these people tonight who've taken time to come out. But Father, the harvest is white. There are people ready to hear. There's people wanting to hear. And so, Father, tonight I pray that you speak to our hearts. Father, we need laborers. Father, we need laborers. Dear God, I pray that you speak to our hearts, Father, that someone maybe tonight in this room would surrender to the mission field or surrender to get the gospel throughout America. Father, we need to have a sharp sickle. Father, we need to understand that we need to learn the Word of God. Father, we got to use the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight during the invitation. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, the invitation is two things tonight. Number one, I don't know everybody here, so I don't know if you're saved or not. Maybe you'd say, preacher, pray for me. I do not know for sure I'd go to heaven. We talk about reaching the world, but maybe God wants to reach you tonight. I don't know if you're saved or not, but if you're not saved, we can take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. That's the first part of the invitation. And then the second part tonight is, as we begin our mission conference here, I want you to focus in on the harvest. I want us to see how the signs of the harvest, and you look at these missionaries, you heard Brother Autry and his wife speak tonight, people being saved in Vacation Bible School. If there's one country, there's another country. If there's one language, then there's got to be more languages. If there's one convert, we got to expect more and hope for more, that many people would be saved. Focus in on the harvest. Maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight, and you need to say, well, I need to look at the harvest. Would you say, Brother Heinrich, pray for me. I need to focus in on the harvest of people. Would you raise your hand? Anyone? Anyone? I see a hand. I see some hands. Anyone else? I need to focus in on that. I need to focus in on the harvest. Anyone else? As we begin to, why don't you just come forward as they begin the the invitation, as God's spoken to your heart, why don't you come? The altar's yours tonight. If you need the altar, say, Lord, I want you to help me see the harvest tonight. I want you to use the altar. Won't you come? Anybody? Won't you come? Anybody need the altar tonight? Need to pray for this mission conference? You know, it says, pray therefore, Lord, of the harvest. The first thing we need to do about this harvest is start praying for the harvest. We need to start praying. Many, many in this room will never go to the mission field. I understand that. But you can go in your mission program. You can go through your mission program tonight. I wonder, as we start this mission conference, the focus is on the harvest. Would you pray for the harvest tonight? Would you pray for those countries without the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you pray for those that are waiting for the gospel?